This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Wednesday here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter here with Brian Batko today. We're going to go over all of our mock drafts for just the first edition of just going through who the top prospects are, where they could fall, and how they could benefit the Steelers the best. Our mock draft compared to Ray Fittipaldo's, all that here and more on the North Shore Drive podcast. Again, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello, welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter here with Brian Batko. As always, we're talking all things Steelers here on the North Shore Drive podcast. As always, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of the Monday, Wednesday, and Friday episodes, as well as all of the daily content that comes out from all of our Pittsburgh sports writers, including yesterday's episode of Chipped Ham and Football with Brian Batko and Jerry Dulac, talking about a lot of things there. But I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, it's right on the North Shore, right across your PNC Park on Federal Street. When you go there, they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area. 80 of those local beers are available on tap, and they're switching new ones in and out every single week. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today. More on them later. Brian, it's mock draft season, baby. Even though the Super Bowl hasn't been played, people are starting to wind it up, and we got Ray Fittipaldo's first. We're going to go over our first two that we've discussed here for the Post-Gazette. It's an exciting time when you just keep clicking over and over like you're at a slot machine in a random casino.
It's exciting, but you got to learn to pace yourself because you're right, Chris. The Super Bowl hasn't happened yet. Free agency hasn't happened yet. The combine hasn't happened yet. So we're going to kind of be stuck in this mode of mock drafting over and over and over again for the next almost three months, but it's going to be a long 6 or 7 weeks of kicking around every single draft permutation. And we might as well get started today because Ray got back from the Senior Bowl, put his first one on the Post-Gazette website. So it's kind of a good time to, let's just be honest, fill a lull midweek too, where there's not really a whole lot going on.
Absolutely. Again, the Senior Bowl is usually a good place to like start at it. We won't inundate you guys with a bunch of these mock draft shows. This is just kind of a preliminary before we go to the combine and before we start taking on other processes. You know, we'll probably do one, after the combine and probably another one after free agency. And then another like right before the draft, just to keep you guys abreast of where our heads are at. But as we said, Ray Fittipaldo's mock draft is live right now on postgazette.com. Go there to check that out. We're going to read through his picks real quick and then give you ours in comparison. Ray went with a very standard pick that I think a lot of people are making right now. He got center Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon, who was a star of the Senior Bowl and a guy at a position that a lot of people say is maybe the top need, if not a top need for the Steelers. He went back in the second round, got a defensive lineman, Darius Robinson of Missouri, a big bodied guy who can try to pair with Keanu Benton as future of the defensive line. Then went corner with Mike Sanristil of Michigan, getting a corner to pair with Joey Porter Jr. in the third round. Fourth round, with the Steelers back-to-back picks, he gets a wide receiver, Javon Baker of Central Florida, and a linebacker, Jalen Ford of Texas coming from there. And then the sixth round went a little different, went and got a punter, Torrey Taylor of Iowa, place where you got to do a lot of punting with that offense. An obvious need there because of Presley Harvin struggles. And then finished with Roger
Chris,
Rosengarten.
Fun fact, two of my sisters-in-laws are named Torrey and Taylor. So
that sounds like destiny to me. You got to cover this guy. And then finished out with Roger Rosengarten of Washington around seven. Again, you can read all his descriptions and analysis of those picks. But Brian, it seems like center continues to, it has propped itself into the conversation of being the Steelers' first round pick. Typically center is not a first round pick anymore these days. Do you see that maybe the Steelers putting too much emphasis on the center position if they went round one when they can get other positions of need?
I would say not necessarily. I think you have to really be sure that guy is worthy of using that kind of pick because of the questions of value. But, you know, the Steelers have never really been married to some of those philosophical, you know, entrenched in how you should and shouldn't run your draft. They just took a running back in the first round a couple years ago, you know, safety in 2018. So, I mean, I'm not really somebody who draws a hard and fast line against any specific position in the first round for the most part, especially because I think that's kind of the missing piece for it. Everything's circumstantial. Everything needs to be tied into your specific situation for the Steelers. I think center is probably the missing piece for the most part of their offensive line. The one that was the most inconsistent, most in need of an upgrade last season. Those needs have to dovetail with what's to be offered in a particular draft. But I just think I don't blame Ray for going with Jackson Powers Johnson there. It seems like he's separated himself early from the rest of the pack at that position. I just don't know that that's the route that I would go because I need to be very heavily convinced and swayed that you're taking a center in round one, especially 20th overall.
Yeah, they've got to be play at the level of like Marquise Pouncey or Creed Humphrey, who, by the way, was also a late second round pick.
Right. With no other, you know, realistic options too, because, you know, you're always going to have competition from prospects at other positions that are more frequently valued at that point. And a big part of that is just, what are you going to have to pay guys down the line if they become the contributors you expect them to be as first rounders? We know that tackles, wide receivers, corners, they tend to break the bank a lot more than an interior lineman for the most part.
Indeed. Let's get to our picks, Brian, because we did our own mock drafts to compare to Ray's here. We'll put it on the screen for everyone to see. But looking at how this plays out, I also went with Jackson Powers Johnson, but I switched it up after there. I went corner with Ennis Rakestraw Jr. of Missouri, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. in the third round, the linebacker out of Clemson, wide receiver Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky in the fourth round, also pairing with Tyke Smith, the safety out of Georgia, Dwight McLeather in a corner out of Arkansas, and then finished with Tagovailoa, the quarterback out of Maryland. But you got Cooper DeJean. Is it Cooper DeJean or Cooper DeJean? I always mess that up.
I think it's Cooper DeJean.
I think it is Cooper DeJean. Okay, I got it right. But Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, the corner in the first round. Then you went back and got Zach Frazier with the second round pick. To me, he's the other center that is the kind of the caliber that can be a starter this year if they really wanted him to be. But then you also added in Peyton Wilson, linebacker of NC State, defensive lineman out of Alabama, Justin Ibogbe, and then Jalen McMillan, a wide receiver out of Washington, Caden Wallace, an offensive tackle from Penn State, and then finally Isaac Rex, a tight end out of BYU. But both of us went center and corner in the first and second round, albeit in different things here. To me, I kind of feel like those are two of the prime positions of importance here. I'd also list offensive tackle in there, but I just don't know if they'll get the right value for the kind of offensive tackle that they want if they pick where they're picking in the first round, and then also be able to get a center.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at mine, you know, you had the same first round pick as Ray, but I had the first same five positions picked as Ray. So we're kind of in lockstep that way. You know, with DeJean, I went with him because number one, I think he's got the athleticism that the Steelers really like. And, you know, he did have a leg injury that ended his season early, but it didn't seem to be too significant. So hopefully he has a chance to go out there and test off the charts in Indy. but we will see. I still think he's somebody whose production film already speaks for itself. And then as far as positional fit, I'm not really sure what the Steelers need the most, whether it's another outside corner, whether it's a safety, whether it's a slot corner. So I just said, I'll get a guy who might be able to do all three at some point in his NFL career. Just kind of get him in the building and then figure out where he's best equipped to help you. Sometimes maybe somebody would say, look, if you're going to use your first round pick on a guy, you better have a specific vision for where you're using him and playing him. I would leave that up to the coaches who know better than me. But as a GM, I would just tell you, look, I think he can do all sorts of different things, and that's a plus for him. And yeah, as far as, you know, not going tackle early, number one, I'm with you, Chris. I think if you don't get one of the top three or four, you might start reaching a bit. And number two, I just think that everything that the Steelers have shown us, forget what they've told us, everything they've shown us over the years tells us they're somewhat comfortable with Dan Moore Jr. It doesn't mean you have to agree with them.
That's weird.
I could be wrong. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, this is the year they truly want to upgrade. They did sort of make a move in that direction last year by picking Broderick Jones, but they didn't start Broderick Jones over him at left tackle. So I think there's something they like about Moore, at least maybe willing to ride the wheels off of him in the final year of his contract. I don't know what that would mean for where you end up putting Broderick Jones right or left side, but I think the center position, again, is one that they need to upgrade and probably need to do it on the first or second day of the draft.
I agree. Center needs to be upgraded when you can get one of those top guys. And I know some people out there might be wondering, what about guys like Cedric Van Praan or you know, Graham
Barton? I like him too. I think I'd put those in the – I'd put those three in my upper tier of centers that I would be willing to spend a, you know, early round pick on.
We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break here on the North Shore Drive podcast and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Our picks, our evaluations of what's the most important here for the Steelers to make sure that they hit on with this draft, and a lot more talk here on the North Shore Drive podcast. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar. Again, Mike's Beer Bar, it's right on Biddle Street, right across the street from PNC Park on the North Shore. You go to Mike's Beer Bar today. They have over 20 televisions. So if you want to catch the latest Penguins game, college basketball, NBA, whatever kind of sports action that you want, not only can you go there and see it, you can even reserve a table with a television specifically on the game that you want to watch, including Duquesne basketball. Mike's a big Duquesne guy, so if you're a Duquesne Dukes fan, get on over to Mike's today. But even if you're not, enjoy one of their 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap, and they're always switching new ones in and out, so you could try any kind of flavors, any kind of styles that you can imagine. It's available at Mike's Beer Bar. They also have amazing food, like their steak on a stone meal, where your choice cut of steak is brought to you on a heated stone, and all you have to do is cut up every piece off, and when you press it into the stone, you choose how well done you want every bite of your steak. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today to get your sports fix and experience the best bar in Pittsburgh. When you get there, tell them Chris sent you. We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Brian Batko. We are doing our first mock drafts of the season, getting into where we see things playing out. Again, our picks, we both went center and corner in the first and second rounds. I wanted to dive more into the center talk here because, you went and got Zach Frazier in the second, and I like Zach Frazier. I think that there are two linemen that if they get in the first two rounds, I think that they've done their job and they've gotten their hits on. But I also think that they need to be able to make sure that they get a guy who starts. And I'm not 100% sure Cedric Van Praan out of Georgia is that guy. And I've only done just some research on his film and see, but I don't see a dominant center. I see a guy who kind of does enough of the work to be part of a decent line, but I think that they need a guy who's a road grader or an eraser in the middle part of the offensive line, a guy who can shut everything down and kind of be a spark for everyone else to depend on the offensive line. And it just, my opinion, Frazier and Powers Johnson are the two guys in this class that are definitely that. Maybe Van Praan is, and I just haven't seen it, you know, but I think that that's why I'm kind of leaning towards they got to make that center pick early if they haven't addressed it with a serious move in free agency.
I think a lot of people would tell you really all they need out of center is somebody who can snap the ball from point A to point B and it lands in the hands of the quarterback who's back there. So as far as that goes, a low bar to clear. But yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. I think it's evaluations of a center at a player like Georgia can, or excuse me, at a program like Georgia can be tricky because you do have so much talent around you. I mean, we know the tackles and the guards that they have had over these last few years as Van Pran has been starting. You know, I tend to think that if you can get the job done at that school in the SEC and play that position for Kirby Smart and be part of the success that they had and sustained, I'm willing to take my chances with you at the next level. But you're right, maybe there's something to it that I think it's just so much help on that line. You've got so many guys around you who are doing the heavy lifting that maybe you just have to be a cog in the machine rather than somebody who's leading the pack. So I wouldn't spend a first round pick on Van Pran or even Frazier, to that point. But I think both those guys could be among that group of centers in this class that you can get in here and they can sort of be your guy for the next 4 to 5 years, at least as Mason Cole kind of ages out of the position and plays his way out of the position. We'll see what kind of comes out through the rest of this pre-draft process. I guess it's entirely possible that somebody else will work their way up into the mix of centers talked about in the first couple of days of the draft. That just seems unlikely at this point. It seems like if the Steelers want to find a rookie to help out and step in right away, they're not going to be able to wait until the fourth round or later.
I hear you on that, and that's, I agree. They need to make their move at center. Again, if they don't get like a guy like Lloyd Cushenberry, a veteran center in the NFL who they think can come in and start. But I think that this guy needs to be part of this new core that they want to build. You know, Isaac Seumalo, I think, was a very good addition in free agency this year, but the guy's also already in his 30s, and you can't depend on that for too much longer. I think that if you're trying to build a new core, I think James Daniels could be part of that. He's in his, mid to late 20s. Broderick Jones, obviously a huge piece there, but I think you need a third piece that can be around for several years. And that's where getting a really good center could be. If you look back to the Steelers 2010 offensive line or 2010's offensive line, you had Pouncey and DeCastro as kind of your anchors, two guys that were all pro type players who you invested first round picks in, who became exactly what they were drafted to be. And then you had guys like Marcus Gilbert, Ramon Foster, Alejandro Villanueva, guys that filled in, Kelvin Beachum, guys that filled in around them, but it was still built on two stars. I think that that's where if you can get a center to pair with Broderick Jones and both of them progress in the way that you expect, that makes your offensive line, it gives your offensive line a chance to succeed. But I want to talk about your Cooper.
Why haven't we talked about Graham Barton from Duke?
Why haven't we?
I know he played tackle at Duke, but a lot of the O-line gurus who study the draft think he's going to be a center in the NFL. Would the Steelers or Steelers fans just be too scarred from the conversion of Kendrick Green from guard to center to want to convert a tackle to center? And somebody like Barton, he could be a first rounder. He could be gone before the Steelers even pick because of how consistent he was at Duke. But that's another name that I sort of just wonder, do you sort of bring him in and maybe he plays tackle, maybe he plays center. You just find a fit for him and you bet on the player rather than a specific kind of positional fit or need.
I feel you on that. It's Graham Barton's an interesting prospect. I haven't had a chance to study him a whole lot as far as what he brings to the table. And also I would like to find tape on him playing center specifically.
I don't even know that you can do that. I mean, I think he's going to have to try to show that in the pre-draft process. I don't believe he ended up going to the Senior Bowl to do that. So that's a question, I guess, only he could answer if he's willing to switch positions or what he wants to do in the NFL. I feel like he's kind of the Peter Skoronski of this year's draft.
I hear you on that. Peter Skoronski, a good comparison. But I wanted to talk to you about corner because looking at, Cooper DeJean, he's a guy, like you said, he can play in multiple positions. But does that – if you're picking corner that early, do you feel like that it is top priority to make sure that guy is the outside guy? Or are you picking him because the versatility makes it so that even if he's not the outside guy, you have two other places where he can fit and probably fit in? Because to me – I feel like a prime importance is to find the other corner that'll line up opposite of Joey Porter Jr. so that you don't have to worry about that position moving forward.
I think of prime importance in the first round is finding a good football player, somebody who's going to be a game changer for you on defense. And, sort of the flip side of the center conversation that we just had on offense. Yeah, you can make a lot of arguments. Hey, why are you even using a first round pick on anybody on offense except for a tackle, a wide receiver, or a quarterback? I understand where that logic comes from. Those are the guys who get paid. The quarterbacks, the ones who catch the ball from them and the ones who protect them. But, you know, the guys who snap them the ball can be valuable and, you know, very critical to success too, as we've seen over these last few years since the Steelers have sort of been lost in the wilderness at center. Mason Cole, not a bad stopgap, but he was a stopgap. Defensively, most of that money goes to the D linemen and the edge rushers. And, you know, eventually outside corner, if you cement yourself as one of the top cover guys in the league. But it also, you know, slot corner as a starter in today's NFL. The safety position has been a bit of a revolving door for the Steelers, other than Minka Fitzpatrick. And I think we've talked on this show, Chris, about even Minka Fitzpatrick isn't really looking like himself lately. Part of that could be how they're deploying him, and you might need to get a new type of player in there opposite him to, you know, impact how you utilize him. So somebody like DeGene, I think you can try him out at outside corner first, see if he's got the twitchiness, the deep speed, the cover ability to do that in the NFL. If it feels like maybe that's not right, you know, I think you still have somebody who's a splash playmaker, somebody who did a lot of that at Iowa, was part of a really successful defense. You know, you could deploy him at strong safety. You could deploy him as more of an inside corner, and just you want to get something out of the 20th overall pick. And you can maybe find your opposite outside corner from Joey Porter Jr. Somewhere else. Maybe it's somebody who's already on this roster.
Certainly going to be interesting to see, you know, what they prefer. Because, you know, again, Corey Trice sitting there, I think a lot of people say, well, what about Corey Trice? And I say, you know what, there's a chance. There's a lot of people that felt that he was highly underdrafted in the seventh round. But, you know, again, how much do you want to bank on a seventh round guy who tore his ACL in camp last year and that you're not sure if he's going to be healthy? I mean, who was the Senquez Golson, you know, a guy that, you know, got injured his rookie season. He was a second round pick and never panned out. I feel like the Steelers, if Corey Trice works out, great. And you happen to have gotten another cornerback, great, because then you can never have too many really good cornerbacks.
Darius Rush is still sitting there as well.
And he's another
Rush is still on the roster. Yeah.
Absolutely. I want to talk about other positions of importance as we had them throughout our mock drafts and where the Steelers could get them, all here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Brian Batko, stick with us. We'll be right back. Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Brian Batko. Again, just going over Steelers draft needs and where the best fits are. I thought it was very interesting. Both of us went linebacker in the third round. Granted, when I saw Jeremiah Trotter Jr. there in my mock draft similarly, I was like, that's not going to happen. I just don't think there's any way he falls all the way down to 84. But I was like, hey, I'm not going to complain and get the credit for taking a guy there. You went with Peyton Wilson, linebacker out of NC State. Two ACC guys, by the way. But I think both you and I seem to be on the same page that whereas, yes, the Steelers linebackers were hurt, there was talent on it. I think this team wants a young linebacker who can be plugged into their defense, maybe learn from some of the veterans that they do have under contract and become part of the future there, because linebacker historically in the Steelers' best teams is usually a very good asset for them. And getting a guy on day two of the draft who could fit that, I think that could be an interesting spot there for the Steelers to improve that position without investing too much in it, because they do need to improve the offensive line and the secondary, which to me, those take importance over linebacker right now.
Yeah, I think that third round's probably the sweet spot, as evidenced by both of us going with it there. And you never know, that could change between now and the draft, especially if they do hit it again in free agency and hit it hard the way they did last offseason. But I just think it's as simple as I don't know that there's one in this draft that you'd take in the first round. And I even think the Devin Bush failure would have me a little bit spooked by using a first-round pick on a linebacker again.
Yeah.
Anytime soon. They're very difficult to project from college to the NFL. So, and also so dependent on kind of the supporting cast around them, I think, to make them look better, almost like the defensive running back in a way. So I wouldn't go in the first round. I'd start looking in the second round. for a new inside linebacker because, yeah, I mean, I just think that's a room that is still in transition. Very unfortunate, the injuries to Cole Holcomb and Quan Alexander that affected the 2023 season, obviously, but I think they're also going to carry over and continue affecting that unit in 2024 just because of the significance of those injuries. Obviously, it might preclude Alexander from even being re-signed after how well he was playing. And as far as Cole Holcomb, you know, I think he's targeting the regular start of training camp to be ready, but who knows? That was brutal. Then, you know, he was walking around with his leg in a huge brace all the time. So, you know, and even if they were both healthy, Elandon Roberts isn't getting any younger. Why do we use that phrase? Nobody's getting younger, but Elandon Roberts is getting Elandon Roberts is getting up there in age. You know, even though he continued to play well, nothing against him. He's adamant that he can still do it at a high level, and it's hard to argue with the results, but you just got to think about it practically. Mark Robinson, I don't know that plane's getting off the ground anytime soon, or at least it's been stuck on the tarmac for a while. So Peyton Wilson, he's not a young guy. He's going to be 24 before the season starts. He's a fifth-year, longtime stalwart for NC State. He had 100 tackles in 2020 and 100 tackles in 2023. So he's been very productive there for a long time. He's kind of that, you know, old school mentality type linebacker, leader, alpha dog for the Wolfpack defense. Will there be some athletic limitations for him? Maybe, but sure made a lot of plays in the ACC. And I think he's the type of guy the Steelers would love his makeup.
Certainly. You know, Jeremiah Trotter, of course, you know, son of Jeremiah Trotter.
Certainly like that makeup too. The bloodlines for sure. the Steelers love those sons and brothers of NFL players. That's for sure.
Yeah, I can totally see that happening in how it plays out. And especially now, because before when people were talking about it, there were some who projected Jeremiah Trotter Jr. to be a first round pick. And I was just like, I don't see them spending first round on linebacker to get him. But if he was there in the third round, absolutely. But looking back here at some of these other positions that we talked about, the one position that you went with that I didn't use to get anything, any pick to get, was defensive line. And the position I got that you didn't get was safety. And those are two defensive positions that I do think are both of importance. I didn't not pick the position, the defensive line, because I thought it was just going to be solid. I just didn't see the value for the guy that, you know, that I thought would be a good fit for the Steelers. Ray also went and got a defensive lineman with his second round pick. I do think defensive line is very important, but I also, what do you think about the idea of adding a safety to this roster, just with trying to get a strong safety that can pair opposite of Minkah Fitzpatrick and let him kind of get back to playing maybe a traditional free safety role?
Yeah, if I hadn't gone with DeGene in the first round and sort of not knowing exactly where the Steelers would view him as a pro, I would have very much been interested in using one of those picks on a safety because, yes, I think the Keanu Neal experiment has kind of run its course. DeMonte Casey, not a bad player. I think he still has some juice left in him. But again, I mean, he's somebody who you're probably only going to use him, you know, in the deep half of the field. And I think that's where I'd want Minkah Fitzpatrick for the most part. So I don't know that he's that great of a scheme fit for the Steelers anymore, at least with the personnel that they have. I wonder if they'd want to continue doing business with Eric Rowe. He's in his 30s, but, you know, he was somebody who gave them a jolt of energy last season when he got in there over those final 3 weeks of the regular season. Still, though, you got to get younger. And I've been kind of saying for years now that once you sign Minkah Fitzpatrick to that, you know, record-breaking at the time safety deal, you're going to need to go cheap at the other safety spot. So do you do that by getting kind of a retread free agent, which they've tried, or do you draft one maybe a little higher than you're comfortable with for the most part, but it helps to have that other safety on a rookie deal when you're paying Minkah what you're paying.
Yeah, that's the question that I have. Because like you said, you don't want to invest the finances into paying a second safety, especially when Minkah Fitzpatrick's a highly paid.
It's just not realistic. You can't pay everybody. I mean, you can't. Right. That's like, you know, I see people out there saying maybe the Steelers should target L'Jarius Sneed in free agency. And I'm just like, obviously he's really good. He's one of the best corners in the league right now for the Chiefs, but you know, I feel like Joey Porter Jr. is ready to be your number one. Do you need two CB1s, or can you use that money elsewhere? So, hey, if it were Madden, if there were no salary cap, I'd be all for it. But, you know, allocation of resources is part of what goes into building a team.
Absolutely. And it's finding that balance, like you're saying there, where you're not overspending on certain things. You have to, what often builds the best teams is that there are certain positions that you're getting great value out of, but you didn't, you're not investing a lot of money into. And oftentimes those come from rookie deals or just, or less, even less likely, veterans that you signed for low contracts that are overperforming the contract that you signed. You know, you look at the Niners, what Brock Purdy gives them at quarterback versus his contract. That's huge for what it allows them to not have to spend at quarterback, which allows them to spend everywhere else. If the Steelers could get even something remotely close to that with Kenny Pickett, they'd be in a much better position right now with what they have on their roster. And I think that's what they're trying to do before they have to go invest in, you know, a lot of money back into the quarterback position, is build a roster around a quarterback who doesn't cost them a whole lot. And that's, again, why we're kind of both looking at this. My last question here, or my last, you know, talking point here. I had Talia, you know, Tagovailoa in the seventh round, just as a late pick, just to add to the quarterback room here. You didn't pick a quarterback. I don't, there's some people that think the Steelers need to be in the quarterback market in the draft. And I mean, like, if the right guy falls to the right spot, sure. I just don't see that happening. Like, I'm not convinced by Bo Nix or Michael Penix or any of these guys that they're going to be the guy enough to pass up on, you know, a guy who can be your starting center or starting corner or starting defensive lineman.
As I was doing that mock draft last night, Chris, after we were texting about the show, mm-hmm. I think Penix was on the board in the second round, and I kind of stared at it for a while, and I was like, I just don't see it. Like, you know, he was very impressive at times in Washington's run to the national title game. Don't get me wrong, but between some of the questions that I still have about his overall viability in the NFL and, you know, reading the tea leaves of what Steelers brass has said since the end of the season with regard to Kenny Pickett and, you know, sort of to a lesser extent, Mason Rudolph, because he controls his own destiny, I don't think they're going to use a high pick on a quarterback. And I could certainly see them going with one in the late rounds. I considered that along with running back. I just sort of picked tight end because nobody else really jumped out at me at those other two positions. As I was wrapping up the draft and about to close my laptop, you know, tight end could be something where you want to get another body in here and see if it meshes with Arthur Smith's scheme because of how much he does lean on the tight end. So that's why I threw that dart, but I could have just as easily picked a Joe Milton, Tagovailoa. I don't know who else is maybe going to be around at that point in the quarterback class. It's usually pretty unenthusiastic options, such as hence Chris Oladokun a couple years ago. But hey, you mentioned Brock Purdy. He was in that same draft. So never know who you're going to get when you do try with a quarterback late.
And again, like, these picks, especially like when we're still trying to learn about guys that are going to be first, second, third round picks, even fourth round. When we're getting to the sixth or seventh round, we are not trying to tell you that these are going to be the guys that are going to change anything. These are
Dwight McLuthern sounds like a detective from an old timey Southern mystery movie or something.
In the heat of the night.
To him. Yeah. Are you sure he's real?
I wasn't sure. I was just like, I like the name and kind of went out of the corner. He's also 6'2", so I was like, ooh, I'll take a long armed corner.
We'll see what he measures in it if he's even invited to the combine.
he's not there at the combine. It's just a name that was on the computer.
I'm just kidding. You're Dwight McLuthern, and you're probably a really nice fellow with a great family who loves you very much.
Absolutely. He's Brian Batko. I'm Chris Carter. This has been the North Shore Drive podcast, doing our first dual mock drafts of the season. We'll be doing this throughout the offseason, not too much, but we'll be bringing this back probably around combine time in a couple weeks here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Again, read Ray Fittipaldo's mock draft and all his descriptions of the players that he selected at post-gazette.com. Thanks again, everybody. We'll be back Friday with more here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.